Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Naturally, we protect those we care about. It's true for everyone. We see it reinforced not only in Hollywood, when someone might dive in front to take a bullet for somebody else, but it happens in a very real way in everyday life. For instance, parents work to take care of their kids, to save them from poverty and hunger. Maybe later in life, children might take care of their family, their parents, or their elderly grandparents by saving them from loneliness or financial hardship. Maybe, if the need ever arose, men would pick up arms to fight. That way they might defend their wives and children. Friends will stick up for one another when their reputation is under attack. Maybe you've done this one yourself, or maybe it's been done to you, but maybe driving in a car when somebody pulls out and cuts you off, or you have to stop short because you haven't seen the brake lights, and instinctively an arm goes out to shield the passenger next door. So naturally, we protect those we care about. But what about those we don't? Would you ever intentionally protect your worst enemy? Jesus does. Jesus protects his worst enemy. In our text for today, the Pharisees are at it again, trying to mislead the Savior of the world, trying to get rid of him. At first read, we might think, oh, the Pharisees, they finally decided to be nice to Jesus because they bring him this warning. Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now, Jesus is already aware of what Herod is capable of, because Herod has already put to death Jesus' cousin, John the Baptizer. If you think about the Pharisees, I mean, their previous actions have really nothing to do with what being nice means, at least towards Jesus. And so Jesus, knowing who Herod is and knowing that Herod has the power to put him to death at a moment's notice, and knowing that the Pharisees are not really quite the nicest to Jesus, we can know that it's much more likely that the Pharisees here are trying to convince Jesus to give up his ministry. If we can convince Jesus that Herod is out to kill him, maybe he'll run away. Maybe we'll be able to get rid of him. Maybe he'll be out of our hair once and for all. Jesus, Herod is out for you. You better skip town. They want Jesus to give up his miracles. They want Jesus to give up his preaching. But Jesus sees right through the schemes. He shows that he fears no one but God alone. He replies, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course.'" Jesus knows what his mission in this life is. If Satan himself, remember from last week, if Satan himself could not tempt Jesus away from his mission as Savior of the world, then certainly the Pharisees won't be able to either. Jesus must continue his journey. He must continue savoring the entire world. He shows care and concern. He heals God's people, and nothing will prevent him from doing that, even as the people show they don't want him. He must preach the truth into their ears, even when the people don't want to hear him. He must travel to Jerusalem so he can die, so he can bleed for the sins of the world. He must do it even when they try to derail him from his final destination. Every day, Jesus is getting closer and closer and closer to Jerusalem, closer and closer to his bloody and sacrificial death, for you. Jesus must be crucified. Jesus must die in Jerusalem. He already knows that's his fate. He even tells us in our text again, "Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." Jesus knows that his fate is death. And so what is he doing? He fulfills the prophets. We confess that Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king. And this text so clearly shows us that Jesus is indeed a prophet. For just as prophet Jeremiah, as we heard in our Old Testament reading, suffered for speaking the truth, so does Jesus. If the prophets were persecuted, Jesus is persecuted all the more, because he speaks for God, because he is God. And so Jesus goes to do the same thing. He goes to that great city, Jerusalem, to be the greatest prophet of all time, to be the sinless prophet, to be the obedient prophet, to be the willing prophet, to be the savior and the protector of the ungodly. For why does Jesus do it? He does it so that his worst enemies, so that the Pharisees might have salvation. He does it so that Fox Herod might have salvation. He goes to Jerusalem as the greatest prophet of all time, that people might believe him. Believe his words, believe that his sacrifice is for them. And so today, believe that Jesus' sacrifice is for you. Because it is. In fact, everything Jesus did, he did for those who hated him. And naturally, as the sinners that we are, by nature, we hate God. By nature, we hate Jesus. And if not for Jesus coming to do a savoring for us, we would still hate Jesus even today. But not so. Because Jesus has been your Savior. Jesus is your Savior. Now, Jesus continues. Because what does God want more than anything else but for all people to believe? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus dies for those who wanted to get rid of them. Jesus dies for those who don't believe in him. Jesus dies for you. And he wants to gather you. He wants to gather you underneath himself. Now, I realize, being out here in Chestnut, some of you might raise chickens. I don't. And so maybe this analogy hits a little closer to home for you. But what will a hen do for her chicks? Give her life. In preparing this sermon, I looked into, you know, some of these sort of analogies that Jesus uses here. And in one such account, I heard about a farmer who raised chickens. And sadly enough, the chicken coop burned down. What did he find amongst the rubble? What did he find amongst the ashes? A dead hen. But with baby chicks alive and well underneath. The mother sacrificed her life that her children might have life. That's exactly what Jesus longs to do for you. He wants you to find shelter in the shadow of his wings. You might recall Psalm 91. He will cover you with his feathers. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your buckler. Jesus wants you to live in the shadow of his cross. Because Satan, likes to fire these fiery darts at us, to throw them directly at us. And what does Jesus do? He shelters you. He shelters you in the shadow of his cross. He shelters you from ungodliness. What did we come into this church to do today? Confess. We are truly the ungodly. Confess your sins to him, because he wants you to find shelter in his forgiveness. Find shelter in his faithfulness. Find shelter in his perfect life that he gives into death on your behalf. Find shelter in his blood, that all of your sins might be forgiven. Because then there's the second half. For those who would have nothing to do with Jesus, who do not desire his gifts, who do not want to take shelter in his cross, who do not confess their sins and have them forgiven, they receive a different word. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus here is speaking of the last day, when he comes again riding on the clouds, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But for some, it will be too late. For some, it will be a day filled with regret. Regret that they decided to stand on their own. That they decided to forsake God's shelter and protection in Jesus Christ. Because on that day, they will stand before the holy God of the universe. Their sin exposed. No shelter whatsoever, but all of God's wrath raining and pouring down on top of them. God will pronounce judgment, for they are the ungodly. The truth is so are you. So am I. You and I are all ungodly, born enemies of God. But for you, you dear folks gathered here today, you've confessed your sins, and your sins are forgiven. You've confessed your helplessness, and Jesus has promised to be your shelter. He has gathered you here into this church under the shadow of his cross, that you might avoid God's wrath, that you might hear that sweet declaration that your sins are forgiven. For Jesus is the protector of the ungodly, who claims you as his own by his death. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your protection in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.